But the Jews are not the only ones who have suffered, you know. It is no secret that tens of millions of blacks were killed during the slave trade. Many of them by so-called Christians. Some who even dared to twist the Bible to support this diabolical evil. And it's no wonder, young people, it is no wonder, older folks, it's no wonder sometimes when you run into people and they don't want to accept God, they're rejecting the Christian message, they reject the gospel of Christ, and they've rejected it because there have been so many injustices done by so-called Christians. Listen, one of the big problems with religion is that it often has contempt for whoever we decide is an outsider. But Jesus is different.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age where many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The message we will hear this evening is the first part of a message in which Pastor Brian Grant explores the problem of the missing generation. It's no longer a question. The younger generation is avoiding church in droves. So this evening, Pastor Grant will examine a few problems that make church seem unattractive to so many growing up in this very different world of today. Pastor Grant will be using various texts in this challenging message, so if you have your Bibles, we invite you to follow along as he brings this evening's message entitled, The Big Problem with Religion. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Yana was 31 years old and was married for just 1 month when we met her in Prague 2 weeks ago. You see, Yana was our tour guide, 35 of us, some of you know, we took a group of 35 on a tour of Eastern Europe, and Yana was our tour guide. And Yana was really an amazing tour guide. She shared so much information with us, and you know, sometimes you wouldn't be fully focused, but when Yana started talking about a religion, everyone got totally focused. Yana shared that in the Czech Republic, only about 2% attend church occasionally. She said, so few of us go to church that there are only 150 churches left in the entire country. And she said to us, she said, you know, like most Czechs, I don't believe in God. I believe in karma. Well, of course, since there were some GCA folks on the bus, you can imagine everybody went silent for a minute as they tried to deal with that, the reality. But the next day, Yana shared some of why she didn't believe in God. You know, she was telling us about the history of Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic, and she was telling us some of the particular of the church history. She shared with us how many tens of thousands of people were killed by religious wars. She shared with us about the tens of thousands of Jews who were killed by Christians. And then she asked this question. She said, why would I want to believe in a God like that? A good question. And you know, I pondered that question, and we're going to talk about that because I think it's important, and I'm sure there's somebody here, you've grappled with that. But you know, a story came through my mind as I pondered her question. You know, sometimes it's good to reflect on a story. And so a man needed a job, and he visited a zoo to see if they had any openings. And the zookeeper took him aside and quietly whispered to him. He said, the gorilla died last night, and a lot of children are going to be coming soon. He said, if you will dress up in a gorilla suit and swing like a gorilla in the cage, he says, I'll pay you $25 an hour. Well, the man thought for a minute. He thought about the children coming and what they were going to miss, and he thought about the $25 an hour, and he said, I'll do it. So he put on a gorilla suit, he went in the gorilla cage, and no sooner had he gotten into the cage, the children arrived. So of course the man decided he had to give these children a great show. He grabbed hold of a tire, and he started swinging, and he swung so high that he flew out of the gorilla cage, and he landed in the next cage beside him. It was the lion's cage. Oh my goodness, when he saw he was now in the lion's cage, he started screaming and he started knocking on the cage. The poor kids, they thought this was part of the show. They just thought, and you know, as the lion was approaching the poor little man, they were, can you imagine the excitement? The lion is about to attack the gorilla. You'd have probably, what would you do? Well, the poor little man, as the lion approached him, he was scared to death. And then all of a sudden, the lion came over to him and lowered his head. And the lion said, "Mister, you better shut up before we both lose our jobs." That zoo seemed to have been full of animals, of folks who only looked like animals. They were wearing the clothes that made them seem to be. And you know, church history, I hope you don't be offended if I said this, but church history is full of leaders who wore garments that made them seem holy, but whose behavior was totally contrary to the message of Christ. And so this morning, before you throw out Jesus, I want you to pay some attention to what the message of Jesus really is. Amen? Before you toss him over and say, "Why should I believe in a God like that?" you better find out what type of God the Bible is asking you to believe in. And so this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject, the big problem with religion. And those of you who are English students are going to say, "Pastor, how you?" I said, "It's the big problem with religion, and you're giving us three problems," because all of these are parts of a big problem with religion. And I want, as I share this message with you, I want to share these problems with religion, with the message of Christ. And I'm going to constrain my message this morning right to the, in Luke's Gospel chapter 15. So I want to share with you from this text in Luke's Gospel chapter 15. Probably look at it in a little different way than you've looked at it before. But I want to share with you three big problems with religion. Problem number one, religion often has contempt for outsiders. Religion often has contempt for outsiders. In Luke's Gospel chapter 15, begins like this. "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him," to Jesus that is, "to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives the sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke this parable to them." And of course you heard that read in your hearing. "This man receives sinners and eats with them." The Pharisees and the scribes were the religious elites of the day. They were the religious leaders, and they were upset that this Jesus was meeting with tax collectors and sinners. You see, the tax collectors were the outsiders. The tax collectors were those who collected taxes. Mark you, they were Jews, but they were collecting taxes for the hated Romans. And the Roman government allowed the tax collectors to add a little margin for themselves. Whatever the market could bear, you could add on. What a job. And so the majority of the Jews hated these tax collectors because, as far as they were concerned, they were in the pocket of the hated Roman Empire. And so there was contempt. The religious elite had contempt for these outsiders. And as far as they were concerned, these tax collectors and sinners were unredeemable people. And sadly, history is full of cases where religious groups have shown contempt for the outsiders. Well, in case you think Christianity is the only one who does, oh, you all know, if you go online and you look this up, there are going to be a lot of answers. But, you know, the Quran gives permission to Muslims to kill the infidels. You are aware of that. You see, There is something in religion that makes us want to have contempt for the outsiders. And that's why this morning I'm not going to invite anyone to join a religion. As we go through, I'm going to invite you to form a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the perfect one. He is totally different. You can see it already from the setup of the story. They're bent out of shape with this Jesus because he is meeting with the outsiders. You know, when we were in Budapest, we saw the shoe memorial. We were driving down this by the Danube River, and Cheryl and I, we saw, not everybody in the bus noticed this, but there were all these shoes. We didn't realize they were not real shoes. It was a work of art. And what was the purpose of this shoe memorial? Well, in World War II, what was going on? The Hungary, by the way, was regarded as a Christian country. In fact, when the king of Hungary became a Catholic, he decided that anyone who did not convert to Catholicism should be killed. So they had killed everybody else. So here we have this so-called Christian country. And what they would do, they got the Jews and they lined them up on the banks of the Danube River. They took off their shoes because shoes had so much value. You could sell the shoes or you could wear the shoes. You didn't want him in the water with his shoes. You line them up and you took a machine gun and you just killed them all along the banks of the Danube, and people just fell into the Danube and were washed away by the current. Can you imagine so-called Christians just slaughtering people? 800,000 Hungarian Jews in just one country, killed by so-called Christian country. But the Jews are not the only ones who have suffered, you know. It is no secret that tens of millions of blacks were killed during the slave trade. Many of them by so-called Christians. Some who even dared to twist the Bible to support this diabolical evil. And it's no wonder, young people, it is no wonder, older folks, it's no wonder sometimes when you run into people and they don't want to accept God, they're rejecting the Christian message, they reject the gospel of Christ, and they've rejected it because there have been so many injustices done by so-called Christians. Listen, one of the big problems with religion is that it often has contempt for whoever we decide is an outsider. But Jesus is different. And my Bible tells me all the tax collectors and sinners were drawing to him. Did you see that in your Bible in verse 1 of chapter 15? All the tax collectors. I'm so glad Jesus loves outsiders. How about you? My Bible says he's a friend of sinners. And in a society that hated tax collectors, Jesus chose Matthew. I hope you realize what Jesus did. In a society that hated tax collectors, Jesus chose Matthew, a tax collector, as one of his 12 disciples. And then, of course, by the time he got to Zacchaeus' village, you remember, Zacchaeus was another tax collector. And Zacchaeus is, where was he hiding? He was hiding in the tree. And Jesus comes to the tree and he looks up at Zacchaeus. As far as Zacchaeus was concerned, he didn't have a chance because everybody hated him. The religious elite hated him. And Jesus looks up at the tree. Zacchaeus, come down. Today I must abide at your house. So my friend, you know, people may have rejected you. Folks might make you think you're not redeemable. But I want you to know my God loves you. Jesus loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But let me ask you, are you type that welcomes outsiders. Oh, come on now. You know, most of us are most comfortable hanging around folks just like us. It's time. Here's part of what God is saying to us this morning. He's saying to everyone in this room, it's time to start living out the message of Jesus, because it's time for the church to be the place where no one feels like an outsider. And as you know, one of the things you've heard me say, and I'll say it again, one of the devil's tricks is to divide the church into black churches and yellow churches and white churches and Indian churches, when Jesus said, I have made you all one in Christ Jesus, and the church needs to start looking like the place. We need to be a little bit of what heaven is going to be like. Somebody ought to say amen. The world needs to see Christians of all colors and all ethnic backgrounds gathering together in a united way, living and loving and spreading this life-transforming message of Jesus Christ. And God is saying to us, my friend, stop being like the Pharisees. Make sure you don't develop prejudices that excludes others. Amen? You see, the Bible is clear. The gospel is an inclusive message. John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten son. That? Ah, hallelujah for that whosoever. It's a message about the whosoever. And my friend, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your bank account. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter who your family is. I am here to tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is for you, that because God said he loved the world, that whosoever believes in him, thank God for the whosoever. The gospel is an inclusive message. But put write this in your notes. The gospel is an inclusive message, but it's also an uncompromising message. You know, sometimes we're a little skewed. I've gone to places where they're excited about the fact that the gospel is inclusive, but they're trying to make the gospel, compromise the gospel and make it change it to fit our society's pressure. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. Here's what it says. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. Hallelujah. I don't want you to miss this, because there is a move going on in our society that is trying to make us believe that you can stay the way you are, be anything you want to be, and belong to Jesus. But I want you to know this message is an inclusive message. Anyone, no matter what you have done, you may be the greatest fornicator, you may be the greatest adulterer, you may be the biggest thief, you may be the biggest homosexual, and this message is for you. But don't miss this part. And such what? Were some of you. You see, everybody has to come to Jesus the same way, because this gospel is a transforming gospel. Amen? It turns the thief into a generous giver. Come on now. It turns the adulterer into a wonderful family man. This gospel is transformational, and it is transformative. It turns the homosexual into somebody who knows who he or she is and starts functioning the way God intended. This is the power of the gospel. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a joy it is to preach and to proclaim a message that can bring change. My friend, I don't care. I've said it before and I'll say it again. It doesn't matter who you are or what you have done. This message is for you and it can change you from the inside out. Amen? Listen. Let me ask you a question. Have you received God's salvation yet? Perhaps you've been disillusioned by the history of the church and by the Christians you've met. But today, Jesus, as I said, he's not so much inviting you to a religion. He's inviting you into a personal relationship with himself. Would you accept him? Would you receive him? Problem number one, religion often has contempt for outsiders. Problem number two, religion often discards its wayward members. You know, the parable of the prodigal son is one of the most loved parables. And I think many of us know the parable. We read it. It was read for you in our hearing. It's a story about this young man who came to dad and asked for his inheritance. That's those are uncool things like you're saying, "Dad, I want you to be dead." But he took his inheritance. He went into a far country. The Bible says he did it. He spent it in riotous living. He lost everything he had. Things got tough. This Jewish boy had to take a job feeding pigs. And you know, the Jews don't have anything to do with swine, but that's all he could get. One day the boy finally decided he'd go home. And when he went home, there was a big party. Daddy threw a big party for the son. You said, "Pastor, that was you. You glossed over all the facts. Don't worry, I'm coming back to those." But I want you to focus. The part of this story which we often miss is the most important part of the story. You see, the most important part is the older brother's reaction. You see, and in the parable, you can put this in your notes, the older brother represented the self-righteous religious Pharisees. So let's look to see how he responded. His brother was missing for probably years. And he's now home. And look at how Mr. Self-Righteous behaves. Pick up the story with me. Luke 15, verse 25. Now his older son, the man's older son, was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. The party was, it was really going on. It was hot, okay? So he called one of the servants and he said, "What is this?" And the servant said, "Your brother has come home. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." That's the one they were really saving up and feeding for special thing. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat." Here you're killing the big cow. You didn't even give me a goat. Come on, daddy, what sort of business is this? That I could have a little party with my friends. You think this boy would be glad that his brother was home? But no, he was mad. He was so mad he wouldn't even join the party. Jesus was sending a message to the Pharisees. And he's sending us a message as well. Because, listen, remember in the parable, this man represented the religious elite. And what he is saying, so the man represented the Pharisees, and he's saying, "Hey, Pharisees, you better be careful how you discard your wounded. This boy has been missing for so long. Here you are bent out of shape that I'm meeting with sinners." And he tells them this story. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, the church has a way of shooting its wounded. You kick up, when a man is down, you kick him into the gutter. You see, religion often discards its wayward members. But I'm so glad Jesus will pick us up. Amen? He'll pick us up. And in the parable, the father illustrates the heart of Jesus.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.